I mentioned this word community. How many of you know that every human being has a longing for belonging? We all need that support, that encouragement, that accountability to be the person that we want to be, to do the things that we want to do, and to have the life that we want to have. And I've studied leadership extensively. And what I realize is that the one thing that will set your business apart more than anything else is creating a sense of community in your business. And so I started working, I hired some consultants, and I started fleshing out the message. And one of my goals was to get a major publisher to publish a book on community. And a friend of mine, how many of you, again, know that all of business and all of life is about relationships? So a friend of mine introduced me to McGraw-Hill. And in January, McGraw-Hill is going to publish a book of mine about building community in your business. Thank you. I have until June 15th to finish the manuscript. But don't worry, I've been working on it for about 10 years, okay? But I want this to be like off the chart. So I'm going to teach it to you. I'm going to teach some of the concepts to you today. I'm going to teach it over a six-week webinar series. Those of you that are in the inner circle, I'm going to teach this every Tuesday. We're going to flesh it out. We're going to wrestle with it. We're going to talk about it on our pods. And we're going to really drill down on this to make sure that it's usable for your business and that it really, really works. I know that it does. I've seen it. But it's rare. And as I dig into these leadership books, I find out that it's rare. But it's powerful. All right? You ready? Okay, first of all, the three benefits of building community in your business is number one, an engaged, inspired team. And you don't have a handout on this. I'm sorry about that because I literally thought about what I was going to teach in the bonus session up until very recently. And I worked on this presentation all the way up until this morning. So we will send you a PDF of the slides. Fair enough? In fact, I think we could even do that today. Marketing Ninja, Victoria, can you make that happen today? Okay. So don't worry about it. You don't need to take notes. But you can if you want to. How many of you believe that your business would be better if you had an engaged, inspired, rocking, amazing team? Yes or yes? Number two, how many of you know that when you have a rocking, amazing team that belongs together, that are effective, that your customers are going to be happier? Yes or yes? How many of you know that when your customers, your clients, your members, your patients, your guests are happier and more devoted and maybe even at raving fan status, that you're probably going to make more money? Does that make sense? How come I didn't get as big of a yes on that? Do we need to have the money talk again? Okay. Let me just have it right now. It's one sentence. It's okay for you to make money. In fact, that's the fuel for you. Thank you. It's that fuel for your business to run on. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Again, every single person on the planet, this is your team members. This is your employees. They have a longing for belonging. Every person on the planet wants to feel loved. They want to feel accepted. They want to feel validated. They want to know their life matters, and it does. We're more connected digitally than ever before, but we seem to be isolated more than ever before. How many of you have seen that? Right? I mean, it is a wonderful thing that a soldier can see his baby being born on Skype. But at the same time, we have these shallow relationships that are, it's only what you see on the screen. We need community. And the fact is that a virtual community is an oxymoron. Why is it that the people who do blogging and who do all this internet stuff want to get together in a conference like this? Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Studies consistently show it's not getting better. There are many, many studies out there. Gallup's done studies. Brian was talking about several reports last night. 70% of American workers are disengaged or actively disengaged. Some of you have been through training with Tom Ziegler where he has the bike, right? And he broke it down that 18% of American workers are actively disengaged. Corporate America is a mess. They're literally working against the company that gives them a paycheck. How many of you saw the ABC special where people, employees, quit in flamboyant fashion, right? So a guy gets up in the middle of a crowded lunchroom. He gets up on the table, and he gets everybody's attention. He rips his shirt open, and there's in big black magic marker, "I quit." Everyone cheered. 18% of American workers are actively disengaged. They hate their job. They hate their life because of it. Their work is meaningless. And Jim Collins says that meaningful work equals a meaningful life. Meaningful life typically is going to mean I'm going to find some meaning at work. In fact, the study showed that employees who are thriving in their lives overall are more than twice as likely as those who are struggling to be engaged in their jobs. So here's a big secret. This is the secret, the secrets of a phenomenal business. And here's the secret. The secret is when it comes to team members, if you care about their life, if you care about them as a person, they will serve you at your company. Conventional wisdom is like, hey, we don't have a close relationship with our team. Hey, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, community is messy. Family is messy. Relationships are messy. But there's no greater thing in the world than to see people like this young man right here, a 17-year-old Colombian refugee, being like the most phenomenal coach in the world. That's his goal. Thank you very much. Give it up for Santiago Arango, man. I told Santi, I said, Santi, I got a couple more tweaks on my PowerPoint this morning. I'd love to be down there for the huddle with the team. Would you just handle it? So he came down, handled the huddle and everything, so I could just walk in. I don't have to do it because he can do anything that I can do. Study also showed that when organizations successfully engage their customers and their employees, they experience, watch this, a 240% boost in performance-related business outcomes compared to organizations that don't have it. So I want to share three keys, six steps. Everybody say that with me together. Three keys, six steps. Three keys, six steps. Okay? The three keys are support, encouragement, and accountability. Talk about support. This is Mr. Johan De Leon. Started with us when he was 19 years old. And he runs a multi-million dollar service company that you guys will see tomorrow morning. And at 32, he runs it like no sweat. Why? Because he has the support of leadership. We have great people, and we have great systems. We have a community. We are family. Support is helping people have the life that they want to have. Zig Ziglar said it best. He said, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I used to tease Zig. I said, Zig, you know, I know you stole that from Jesus because Jesus said, give, and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, oh, that'll be okay. I know him personally. Yeah. Second key is encouragement. This is a leaky. Known her all my life, all of her life. My family has known her life, her family, all of her life. We knew her family for 30 years, so we've known Aliki since she was born, and I've been recruiting her ever since then because she's amazing. At 21 years old, she started doing referral marketing for us part-time. Went to the corporate world. What do you think happened when she went to the corporate world? Yeah, hated it. So I'd message her about once a month. Tired yet? oh, it's going good. About fifth month, we might need to talk. About the sixth month, yeah, we need to talk, right? So it took me about 6 months because I knew she's not going to get the community that she's used to over there. And we were in Las Vegas. We had a show out there, and the team was out there. We're all sitting around at lunchtime, and literally she got emotional. She said, this is my family. Santi's like a son to me. Joe's like a son to me. Aliki's like a daughter to me. See, the second key is encouragement. Zig said that encouragement is the fuel on which hope runs. How many of you know that hope is in short supply today? How many of you know that the suicide rate of teenage girls has doubled in the last 10 years? Why do you think that is? Screens, cyberbullying, this image that there's no way that anybody is ever going to be able to fulfill. And if you do, you're probably going to be empty on the inside. We need community. And then you got to have accountability. And accountability is not just do your job right. Leaders make a mistake where they think that they're going to hold somebody accountable because without a relationship. All of business and all of life is about relationships, and you build that foundation through support and encouragement. But most leaders want to go to accountability because they don't want to have, thank you, they don't want to have a relationship with people, because then they're going to be exposed. So accountability is different in my mind. Accountability is the mirror to have people in your life, like Rick Jones, that feed back to you, who do you want to be? See, Scott Zack was my partner, and I got my company in tremendous debt because I just wanted to make money. I didn't want to be financially responsible. I just wanted to live my lifestyle. And then the debt piled up, and life was not phenomenal anymore. So Scott has a gift that not a penny moves on the planet without him knowing it. So the question is, who do you want to be financially? Talk about accounting, accountability. So accountability, in my mind, is that's how you're going to become the person, that's going to help you become the person that you want to be. So who do you want to be? And by the way, Zig said you got to be before you can do, and you got to do before you can have. Who are you becoming? Zig said it's not what you get when you reach your goals, it's who you become. One of the greatest leadership books that I've ever read is by a man by the name of Patrick Lencioni. And this is probably the closest thing to my community book that's out there on the market that I know of. And the subtitle of The Advantage is Why Organizational Health Trumps All Other Business Strategies, all right? Or trumps everything else in business. He said this: if an organization is led by a team that's not behaviorally unified, there is no chance it will become healthy. He says the first step is to build a cohesive leadership team. Everything rises and falls on leadership. In fact, in this book, what I'm going to be recommending that you do, and I'll unpack this a little bit as we go this morning, is develop that leadership team. Develop that inner circle. Find the people who have your best interest at heart and build that little pod, that little nucleus with those people. And then he said, create clarity. And then he said, over-communicate clarity. How many of you know that leadership is effectively communicating the vision? And then he says, reinforce clarity. Build a cohesive leadership team. The rest of the book is all about clarity. Leadership is effectively communicating your vision. First, you got to have a vision. The harder part is communicating, because everybody communicates differently. Yes or yes? Okay. So I want to give you, those are three keys, six steps. The first step comes under the banner of support, and it's called value true community. What I mean by true community, I don't mean a neighborhood, I don't mean a nationality. What I mean is a group of people that are so committed to one another, they share the same values, they share the same vision, A community, someone that you're in community with, is the person that would get up in the middle of the night for you, for any reason, whatever you need. That man is sitting right here. Any one of my team members would do that for me, and I would do that for them. That's community. But before you can value true community, you have to value human beings. See, the problem is that people see humans as landscape. They see them as just, you know, Brian said last night that he asked a waiter or waitress their name because they're a valuable human being. It's not just because we want to get better service, but it's because they deserve that. We have to value human beings. My early mentor, Bill Beckham, the wisest man that I know, when he came and spoke to this audience, he said, yeah, Howard's products are phenomenal. Back then I had, you know, tapes and manuals and CDs and things like that. But he said, you are the phenomenal product. See, Zig said, you're born to win, designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. After all, God don't make no junk. Amen or amen? Thank you. You're a special creation. And Zig was adamant about people understanding who they are, because most people suffer from a poor self-image. The very best thing that you could do as a leader is share with your team the tremendous inherent value that they have as a human being. There was a time when our management was messed up and Santiago left our company. Some of you don't know that. When we got leadership fixed, guess what? He loved me, but he's like, Howard, you listen. I'm just telling you how it was, you know. Listen, the best people are not going to follow you and stay on your team if you're not doing your job as a leader. I've been hanging around John Maxwell a long time, and he's written a lot of books. In fact, I think he's sold like 70 million copies of books, and I think he's lost count of the number of books that he's written. We were in a session next door, and somebody goes, John, have you ever thought about writing a children's book? And he goes, well, you know, blah, 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 I don't know, and everything. And one of his team members goes, John, we're writing a children's book right now. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So in other words, the publisher and his team and his writer, they take his content and they repurpose that. And so he's got lots of books. But I've been hanging around John for years. And last November, he said something that got my attention. I said, why haven't I heard that before? He said, the greatest leadership book ever written is called The Leadership Challenge. And I knew that I had that book because it had an unusual cover. I remember feeling that cover. It's like a translucent cover. And so as soon as I got back to Houston, I said, I know I've got that book on my bookshelf. And I started looking. There it is. And I agree. All of business and all of life is about relationships. Here's what the Leadership Challenge says. It's the quality of this relationship that matters most. A relationship characterized by mutual respect and confidence will overcome the greatest adversities and leave a legacy of significance. See, we don't want to just be successful, we want to be significant. Number two, pursue champion connections. Rick Jones, sitting right back here, was with Dale Carnegie for 33 years. He owned the Houston franchise, an award-winning franchise, 5 out of 10 years in a row. He got the President's Cup worldwide out of all the franchises in the world. Master leadership trainer, master coach, and he finds out what I'm doing. He had sold his business. He sold Dale Carnegie. He had a 3-year non-compete, and he was looking for what he's going to do for the rest of his life. And he wanted to do something that was going to make a difference and have an impact. He joined us. That shows you that something is special's happening here. He's been with us about 6 years now. I mean, how many of you are grateful that Mr. Rick Jones is on the team? Huh? Listen, all right. So community, you have to support other people. Support your team. Support your team members. And by the way, support them before they even get on your team. That's the key. Help everybody that you know reach their goals. Support them. Encourage them. Help them. Because you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. Add value to them. Speak into their life. Invest in them before they there's even a possibility of them coming on your team. So I invested in Rick Jones. He invested in me. You ever wonder how Alexandra got here? And speaking of pursuing champion connections, you have to have community not only in your company, but outside your company. Okay, in other words, we need to have a community that we belong to that we can draw from, right? And that we can have an outer community that helps us in our inner community. Does that make sense? So I built a relationship with Tom Ziegler after Zig came and spoke on my stage, and we start traveling around the world. We're in Australia, and Alexandra, when you work at Phenomenal Products, we always have nicknames. Okay, so Santiago's the Santiago man. And you can just call Alexandra Manchita, because when she was a kid, she ate everything in sight, okay? I think that's what I heard, something like that. She's 17. So what do most people do? They're going to ignore the 17-year-old. Not me. I'm like, she's phenomenal. She's only 17. She might be on my team one of these days. So I've been investing in Alexandra since she was 17 years old. And a few weeks ago, I was getting off an airplane across the street, Southwest, of course, lots of peanuts. And Alexandra just came into my heart. And maybe she's got a test. Maybe she needs some encouragement. Send her a text. How you doing? By the way, what are you going to do after you graduate? Because she graduated on Saturday, and this was a few weeks ahead of time. Where are you going to go to work? Well, whoever's going to hire me. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You don't have some big corporate job lined up? I said, would you interview with us? I would love to. And here she is. So you start, thank you. You start investing in people now before you need them, right now. You see the people that you want to attract to your team because you don't know. Eventually, tomorrow, next month, next year, 5 years later, 10 years later, they may come onto your team. It'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Simon Sinek, another phenomenal leadership book, said, every single employee is someone's son or someone's daughter. This is a literal case. Being a leader is like being a parent, and the company is like a new family to join. That's community. I consider all of our folks my family. Number three, inspire emotional trust. Inspire emotional trust. And that comes under the banner of encouragement. What I mean by emotional trust is you want to validate people. You want to affirm people. You want to recognize the value that people have and encourage them in that. And Victoria was a phenomenal gift to us. And it was her 30th birthday coming up. And Ellen Rohr was on a webinar with us, and we were talking about goals. Isn't that interesting? It always comes back to goals. And so she says, you know, I've always had a goal of going to all 50 states, and I've been to 49. I said, which one have you not been to yet? She says, Hawaii. Well, I've been to Hawaii like 15 times. And I said, well, then we're going to make that happen. And she said, what do you mean we're going to make that happen? I said, we're just going to do it. We're going to go to Hawaii. Well, what do you mean we're going to go to Hawaii? We're going to go to Hawaii. Well, how? I said, let me figure out the details. All right. When it comes to dreams, don't worry about how. Just think about what and why. and you'll figure out the how. The how will come to you. So we invited some of our top members to go on a private mastermind. I mean, who wouldn't want to spend 3 days in Hawaii with Ellen Rohr just like downloading? Hello? I mean, just downloading the wisdom and the experience that she has. So I got a group together, and I thought, you know, it's time to encourage Victoria. And I'd sent Michelle to Hawaii a few years earlier. So I'm going to invite Michelle and Victoria to go to Hawaii with us. So we went to Hawaii for 11 days. And they had, yeah, they're like, and I mean, that was like the trip of a lifetime. Encourage your people. Do you think that was a good investment for me? What do you think? Huh? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it cost $20,000. It probably didn't cost that much, but maybe close, because it's like they're going to do everything. And it's like, okay, this has been over the top. We did 2 helicopter tours and this and that. And like tomorrow, I got some work to do because we extended the trip. Long story. Let me upgrade to first class on the way back. That's not too much. They had a special. Okay, boom. And let's see. Why don't I send them on a 65-foot sailboat snorkeling tour tomorrow? So I'm literally sitting on the beach at 5 p.m. doing this on my phone, checking stuff on the internet. Yeah, we got 2 spaces tomorrow. So I go in, they're inside eating dinner, and I walk in, and I said, hey, you guys are going on this snorkel tour tomorrow. And they were like, drop the fork, like, it's already been like over the top. Guess what happened on that trip? I didn't just get to know them better. When was the last time that they got the opportunity to spend 11 days with me? Not in the office, but with my cap on backwards and my sunglasses and a yellow convertible. Having fun, just doing life. It's called encouragement. Encourage your people. Number 4 is practice gift exchange. Michelle has gifts that I don't have. I don't have any C on my disc chart. My C is like at the bottom. There is no C. I don't know how I write books. I don't know how I do some of the stuff that I do. And I have very little S, and so I have to ask Jesus, and this is the good thing, is that, you know, Jesus will give you some S, he'll give you some C if you need it, you know, so that's a good thing. But, I mean, this lady gets me around the world without a hitch. There's not a detail that she doesn't know about, all right? And so you need to surround yourself with people who have gifts that you don't have, because we all have strengths. And we all have weaknesses. The community needs all of these gifts. Speaking of gifts, if you ever want to give me something, give me a Starbucks mug from a city or country that I don't have, and I have my list on Facebook, and I can email you my list if you need it, okay? And I will give you a phenomenal gift in exchange. This is called practice gift exchange. The way that this thing got going is I was doing this webcast for Ziegler, and Tom had brought me a cup from Ireland, and we used that CD and that video over and over and over, and all these cups just started showing up from all corners of the world. So Tracy Day just walked in this morning and gave me this cup from Cozumel. I was at Ziegler a couple months ago, and the new president brought me a cup from Maine. So I'm just saying, like, you know, Father's Day is coming up. My birthday is September 15th. But I will give you a gift back, like my latest book or whatever it is that you need. All right? 3rd is accountability. And I want to share something with you that I want to share an area that most leaders are unwilling to go. And that is that the greatest thing that you can do in life, and the greatest thing that you could do as a leader, is help people become the person that they were created to be. How many of you know that success in life is simply becoming the person that you were created to be? Darren Hardy has a Daily Darren, and one of our members was telling me that he had one that said, every human being is flawsome. You know, this is the irony of life, is that we're created a phenomenal product, born to win, designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. God don't make no junk, but at the same time, we're like all messed up. Like, how many of you would agree that, I mean, I'm like flawsome, okay? Like, I got to figure out how to get flaw and phenomenal together, you know, flaw nominal or whatever. But the thing is that if you really want to build community in your business, set your heart on helping other people reach their goals in life and to become the person that they were created to be. Because my definition of success is helping people become the person they were created to be. This one, we call her the grasshopper. This is Dana. She was Ruth Hoyt's intern, came and did a phenomenal job helping Ruth. We're always impressed with Dana, but one of the rules that we have is we're not going to recruit one of our members' team member. So never even thought. We encouraged her, gave her a book. But here's what I found out. At one of our conferences, you guys literally changed her life. Changed her life. And when you can say that, die today, I'm a happy man. Especially young people today, because they're our future. So be open. Be willing to open your heart. One of the greatest leadership books that I've read recently is called Encouraging the Heart. At the heart of leadership is caring. See, leaders care about other people. Without caring, leadership has no purpose. As a relationship, leadership requires a connection between leaders and their constituents over matters in the simplest sense of the heart. It's personal and it's interpersonal. Encouraging the Heart is about the principles and practices that support the human need to be appreciated for who we are and what we do, and I'm going to add to that who we're becoming. People need encouragement today. They need hope. And I want to share with you a simple building block that some of you know about, but because the term has been overused in this community, I think sometimes we discount the power of it. And it's called, the step six is build growth pods. Every leadership book that I read, what I find out is that community happens best in a small group. And what I learned from my early mentors, I didn't know why at the time, but the fact is that the largest churches in the world are made up of cell groups. And when those cell groups multiply, see, a living organism is created of cells. And so I created this little small group experience called PODS, and it stands for Power of Discovery Systems. Instead of telling people what to do, let's create an environment, and I have a structure for that, where people can discover what they need to do. And so we're at Ellen's. We had a two-day pod up there, and she, I think, finally got, like, the power of the pod. How many of you are in pods with us in the inner circle? Let me see your hands, please, okay? It's powerful, and here's why. Learning leadership. You can't learn to become the best leader you can be without the help and support of others. The top performers in every endeavor all have coaches and trainers. The same is true of the best leaders. The support, advice, and counsel of experts have a direct bearing on our learning to become an exemplary leader. The fact is that true success is found in true community. And unless you get your folks together in a small group. So many of our small businesses, they've started doing their staff meetings in pods. You guys are doing that at your place, right? So instead of having a meeting where you just talk at the front of the room, get in a circle and get everybody engaged. We're going to do some of that here at the conference. I'm almost done. I want to close with this. This is probably the best leadership book for small businesses, I think, that exists. I saw Jim Collins a few months ago, and he said that they're rewriting this book. His partner that wrote it with him has passed away now, but he said he's rewriting this book. There's going to be another edition. And beyond entrepreneurship, this is where I got this idea that leadership is effectively communicating your vision. This is where I got MVP from, mission, values, purpose. And so it goes through all of that. And then they said this. Here's a man who has studied the greatest enduring businesses on the planet. He wrote Good to Great. How many of you have heard of that book? Great by Choice. He is like the leadership guru. And he said, after all of this that we've done, he said, we still felt like something was missing. And here's what he said. This is the very end of this book. He said, the final secret. So there's nothing mysterious about building a great company. The builders of outstanding companies that we've had the privilege to observe personally, many of whom we've used as examples throughout this book, are not superhuman. They're not smarter than everyone else, nor do they belong to a rare breed of charismatic entrepreneur. Many of them are baffled by the question, what is the secret of your success? Secret? There is no secret. That's what Brian told me last night. That was the second question I asked him. There's no secret is a common response. They refer back to the basics covered in this book, having a vision, making good strategic decisions, being innovative, and they always emphasize this, executing well, implementation, right? If it's not mysterious, then why do only a fraction of companies become extraordinary? None of this is rocket science. It doesn't require hard-to-grasp concepts. Is there something we're missing? Then we listen closely to what Fred Smith said in an interview. Fred Smith, by the way, was Zig Ziglar's mentor. He said, most people who run companies, watch this, most people who run companies look down on people who are working on the factory floor. They have a disdain for the average person, even though that person may be the one who's making them zillions of dollars. And then they said, therein lies the secret. This is the secrets of a phenomenal business conference. Therein lies the secret. If there is one, great companies are built on a foundation of respect. They respect their customers. They respect themselves. They respect their relationships. Most important, they respect their people. People at all levels and from all backgrounds. They respect their people and therefore they trust them. They respect their people and therefore they're open and honest with them. They respect their people and therefore they give them freedom to act and make decisions. They respect their people and therefore believe in their inherent creativity, intelligence, and ability to solve problems. They respect their people and therefore expect high performance. They set standards and stiff challenges because they believe their people can meet the standard and rise to the challenge. Ultimately, employees in outstanding companies attain consistent tactical excellence because someone believes that they can. Out of this respect grows a company that itself is respected, a company that rises to the stature of role model and makes a positive impact on the world, not only through its products, services, and employment, but also as a guide for other companies to follow. Here's the last paragraph, because I know some of you want to get some coffee and some of you want to get rid of some. You too can build a company that stands for something, that sets a standard, not only of performance, but also of values. You too can build an organization that rises above the fray and shows by its success that greatness and fundamental human decency and respect go hand in hand. You too can build a company that you can look back on at the end of your life and say, I'm proud of what I'm leaving behind. And I respect myself for the way I've gone about doing it. My life has been well spent. How many of you would like to be able to say that? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I could die today and my life has been well spent. You too can have a phenomenal business and have a phenomenal life. I'm Howard Partridge. Thank you very much.
All right, let's give him a big round of applause. That's what I'm talking about. I think that is well deserved. Thank you, Howard. And I know we're all here because of that community, so I love the message you just shared, Howard. Thank you so much.